Well, praise the Lord. Awesome worship this morning, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, turn with me, if you bought in your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus, the fourth chapter. Exodus, the fourth chapter. Praise the Lord. You know, over the past few weeks, off and on, as I've been ministering, we've been looking at the subject of trust. And it's something that I just keep coming across as I read the Word. And the Lord just keeps impressing upon me. You know, and the other night at our leadership training, Brother Jim asked me if there was something that the Lord had impressed upon me or spoke to me or dropped into my heart that while we were down in Florida, when we, Pastor Karen and I, took an extended time and we were just seeking after the Lord and just to be refreshed. And I told him, you know, it's what I've been preaching on. It's what the Lord had just kept instilling in me to trust the plan and to trust His timing, to trust God. Amen. The dictionary defines trust as the firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not to thine understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct thy paths." It's important that you know, we read that scripture, but do we really trust in the Lord with all our heart? I mean, we were talking about it a little bit downstairs this morning. You know, do we really trust God? And it's a question we have to ask ourselves. And as I've been reading in the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, I started in January. I just got to Deuteronomy. So you know how I'm not a slow reader by any stretch, but the Lord has just been showing me things and bringing me back to things. And as I reflect upon it and study it, something just keeps coming up about the nation of Israel and their trust of God. There were people who did trust God and entered into the promised land. And there were those who didn't trust God. And didn't. They died in the wilderness. And the thing that keeps coming to me is that we have to keep on trusting God. Trust is not a one-time event. I'm going to say that again. Trust is not a one-time event, or trust, if just because you trust God today doesn't mean that you're going to trust God tomorrow unless you choose to. Amen? We have to do it in our individual lives, and it's something that we have to do in the life of the church. As a body of believers, we have to keep trusting God. We have to keep trusting His plan and keep trusting His timing. Amen? We looked at the account of the children of Israel entering the promised land. There's a common theme present in those accounts. All of them had to make a decision to continue to trust God. And if they didn't, they failed. If they did, they received the promise. Amen? And we read about the results of both. Those who decided not to continue to trust God failed to enter the place that God had prepared for them. And it's important to know and understand that when they chose not to enter the promised land, it wasn't the first time that they refused to trust God. They had developed a lifelong pattern of trusting God one day And then a few days later, not trusting God. We can't be like that. We can't be like a yo-yo. Amen? Everything's not always going to go as we planned. Everything's not always going to be in our timing. Everything or what we think how fast it should happen. We have to trust God. Look at Exodus here. Chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4, starting in verse 28, and I'm reading from the New American Standard. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord which he had sent him, and all the signs that he had commanded him to do. Then Moses and Aaron went and assembled all the elders of the sons of Israel. And Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. He then performed the signs in the sight of the people. So the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord was concerned about the sons of Israel and that he had seen their affliction, then they bowed low and they worshiped. The children of Israel, the people believed. The word believed there is the Hebrew word aman, and it means to trust. It's translated as trust or believe. It means to be certain, to have an assurance, to be established, to be steadfast, to be sure, to put your trust in. So they were all excited. They bowed down and they worshiped. They'd received what the word of the Lord was. Look over at Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 6. Says, say therefore to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage. I will also redeem you with an outstretched arm and great judgments. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt from under the burden of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land which I swore to give Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. So Moses spoke to the sons of Israel, but they did not listen to Moses on account of their despondency and their cruel bondage. So, a little bit later, After Moses had shared all this and Aaron had shared all this, the people were excited. They trusted God. Yes, amen. We believe that. And then Moses went and said, you got to let my people go. And Pharaoh said, they got too much time on their hands. These people are lazy. We got to give them more work to do. And they were all excited about the word. They were all excited about the promises of God. And then persecution and affliction arose because of the word. And it said they were despondent and they wouldn't listen to Moses and Aaron anymore. Amen? That sounds a lot like Mark chapter 4 to me. Right? Hold your place in Exodus. Turn to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 16, it says, in a similar way, these are the ones on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, and when they heard the word, immediately receive it with joy. That's what happened to the nation of Israel, wasn't it? They were all excited. Yes, God has heard our plea. God has heard our cry. He's recognized what's going on, and he's coming to deliver us. And as soon as persecution and affliction arose because of that word that they'd received, verse 17, and they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary, When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away, or the Greek means they just give it up. Started establishing a pattern before they ever left Egypt. Were they going to trust what the word said, or were they going to rebel against what the word said? Look at Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13. This is after they've been delivered. After all the plagues had happened, they'd been delivered. And they're out by the Red Sea. It says in verse 21, it says, "And the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people." The presence of God is with them. It's before all the people, leading them. Amen? Just an awesome experience. They had an awesome experience with God. The presence of God had never been more tangible in their life. He was there day and night in front of them. And then if you turn on over to 14, verse 10, it says, "And as Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them, and they became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, "Leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians"? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." Wow. They'd been delivered from Egypt with a mighty outstretched arm. It says that they spoiled the Egyptians. The Egyptians basically gave them all kinds of stuff and said, "Just get out. Just leave us alone. Take everything we got. Just go." And they're out. They cross over out of Egypt. They're there at the Red Sea. And they start looking around and they see the Pharaoh coming after them. And immediately, their trust in God. Amen? Immediately. That's not the end of the story, though. Go down to chapter 14, verse 30. We're talking about you make a choice to trust God each and every day. You can have a word from the Lord. You can have an experience from the Lord. The next day, you still have to trust God. Amen? Verse 30, it says, "Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. And when Israel saw the great power which the Lord had used against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and they believed in the Lord." It's the same word, Alman, that they'd done before. They believed in the Lord and in His servant Moses. Glory to God. The children of Israel, the ones who never received the promise, the inheritance that God had planned for them, they continued in this pattern for their whole lives. We got to break that pattern. Amen? We cannot live our lives as Christians if we're up one day and we're just all excited about the things of God and we're trusting God, and then when affliction comes against us or something, we get a bad report or we see something comes along, we instantly would just start fretting about it. And we lose our trust in God. We don't trust Him that day. We can't be like that. Amen? Their faith and trust was only as strong as their memory of their last experience with God. They didn't trust in His Word. Amen? Look at Exodus chapter 16. Exodus chapter 16. Verse 1. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction." Believe God, trust God, oh, woe is me. Believe God, trust God, 23 days. That's how long it had been since they came out of Egypt. 23 days. And they're complaining. They'd seen God destroy Pharaoh and his army. They'd seen God deliver them. They'd seen the presence of God lead them day and night. The presence of God was always there. Grumble. Complain. Brought us out 23 days. See, a lot of times we read these accounts and we think it's the 40 years. No. The 40 years is encapsulated in a tiny portion in the book of Numbers. From about 14 to the end of the book of Numbers. That's the 40 years. All this time that we're talking about here happened in a short span of time. 23 days from when they come out of Egypt, they're grumbling. We was better off. People get delivered. People get set free. No. Set free. And then they start looking back. It was better back then. We had food to eat. We ate bread, all the bread we wanted to eat. Twenty-three days. God said, whether or not they will walk in my instruction. This was a faith-building exercise. See, God doesn't tempt you with evil. He tests you. He may test your faith. He wants to see if you're going to be faithful. Amen? Are you going to trust me? Are you going to rely upon me? He said, you're only supposed to go out and gather enough for the one day. Right? Did all of them do that? No. When you read the story, they didn't. And it turned into worms and it stunk. There's always that element there. God gave them only enough for that day. They would have to trust God each and every day that it was going to be there. Amen? Just like we have to trust God each and every day. He said, bread from heaven. Jesus said, I'm the bread from heaven.
in John chapter 6. Amen? We have to trust God each and every day. Turn on over to Exodus chapter 19. The thing was, the biggest faith-building experience still lay ahead of them. Still was ahead of them. Exodus chapter 19, starting in verse 1, says, "In the third month after the sons of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that very day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. When they set out from Rephidim, they came to the wilderness of Sinai and camped in the wilderness, and there Israel camped in front of the mountain, Mount Sinai. And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the sons of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now then, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession among all the peoples of all the earth is mine, or for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the sons of Israel.' And Moses came and called the elders of the people and set before them all these words which the Lord had commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, 'All that the Lord has spoken, we will do.' And Moses brought back the words of the people to the Lord." All that you said, Lord, we will do. Glory to God. Amen. They arrived at Mount Sinai 2 months after they left Egypt. According to the Jewish calendar, that would have been 59 days. They have 30 months and then 29 months. 30 months, 29 months. 30 months, 29 months. Every once in a while, they'll have a leap year that has 13 months in it. Don't it? It says in the book of Numbers, chapter 10, verse 11, that they stayed there until the second year, the second month, on the 20th day. So 11 months, the children of Israel were at Mount Sinai. 325 days. A lot happened in that time frame. God came down to Mount Sinai and filled it with smoke and fire, and the whole mountain quaked in the presence of God. I mean, that had to be spectacular. Amen. Right? That would leave quite an impression on me. If I'm at the bottom of a mountain, looking at the mountain, and a big cloud comes down, and fire and smoke, and the whole thing shakes. This is the place where the Lord gave the people the Ten Commandments. God laid out how they should interact with Him and with each other, with various ordinances. And most importantly, God established and proposed the plan that He had for them. He said in Exodus chapter 23 that I'm going to give you the inheritance that I promised to your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'll go before you and I'll drive out all these nations from before you. I'll put my terror upon them and I'll drive them out, and you go in and you'll possess the land. All that happened. All that was taking place here at Mount Sinai. God was laying it all out for them. And they accepted and they affirmed the covenant that God made with them. Moses, look at Exodus 23. And you see all that. Starting in chapter 20. He says, "I'm going to send you an angel before you to guard you along the way, to bring you into the place which I've prepared. Do not rebellious toward him, for he will not pardon your transgression, since my name is in him. And he goes on and he talks about that he will drive them out, but he's not going to drive them out in a single year. He's going to drive them out little by little. Down in verse 29 and 30, Exodus 23. He's going to send hornets ahead of to drive them out. God's going to do it, not them. Right? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. So, Moses takes blood, he sprinkles it on them in chapter 24. Says, this is the blood covenant that the Lord's made with you. According to all these words. He wrote down everything that God had told him in chapter 24. Verse 4 says, Moses wrote down all the words of the Lord. And he called it the words of the covenant. Everything that God had said to him, everything God told them that they needed to do. And they said, yes, we will do it. We will trust God. We believe God. We're going to do it. Exodus 24, 16 and 18 says, the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai. It says, to the eyes of the sons of Israel, it looked like a consuming fire. They were all excited, right? Yes, whatever God says, we will do. They said it more than once, if you read through this account. Whatever God says, we will do. We're excited about it. What could go wrong? Almighty God was right there. Consuming fire. Look over at Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32. Remember, we're talking about this pattern of saying you trust God, things happen, and it's obvious you don't trust God. Saying you trust God, don't trust God. Yes, God, I'll do what you say. I trust you. I don't trust you. Amen. Having the word of the Lord, having the experience of God, having the manifold presence of God right there. Pillar of fire by night, pillar cloud by day. The presence of God is on the mountain, the consuming fire. Right there. They're at the bottom of the mountain. Verse 32, chapter 32 says, now when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, come, make us a God who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Nowhere does it say that the glory of God or the consuming fire had failed to burn in their eyes. Yet 40 days later, they were saying to Aaron, make us a God that'll go before us. After 40 days, they became impatient. 40 days, they lost focus. 40 days, I think that they may have got bored. Amen? They were still eating the manna that God provided every day. God was still providing for them. The presence of God was still there on the mountain. Eventually, took for granted the presence of God. It doesn't matter how many experiences you have with God, if you fail to continue to trust Him and follow His Word, you're going to get off track. Remember, we looked at this a couple weeks ago, back in chapter 24, Aaron and Moses and Nadab and Abihu and 70 of the elders went up the mountain. All that took place before this. They went up the mountain and it says they saw God and they ate and they drank in the presence of God. They took communion, basically, with God on the mountain.
And 40 days later, they're like, we don't know what happened to Moses. Aaron, make us a god. And Aaron says, nah, we're not doing that. No, what does he say? He says, bring me all your jewelry. And it says he formed and fashioned a calf. And later on, we know the story when Moses questions him about it. He's like, I just threw it all in the fire and this is what came out. I don't know. That's Pastor Will's paraphrase, but that's basically what he did. Right? The same Aaron had been up there with Moses and saw God. The 70 elders that had been up there, his sons, Nadab and Abihu, had been up there. Don't you think one of them should have said, wait a minute, Aaron. Amen? It's important that you have people around you that will challenge you when you start getting some goofy beliefs in your life. Amen? That will bring you back to the Word. Remember the Ten Commandments where it says, thou shalt have no other God before? I think that was in there, right? And we're just going to build us a calf and just go on. Impatience and insecurity will get you off track. Not having people to speak into your life will put you in danger of getting off track. Why do you think that the enemy fights so hard to keep people from getting into church? Getting into a word church. Getting into a church that's going to give you the word. A church that's going to challenge you. Amen? A church that's... it's not going to say, well, that's all right. Whatever you believe is okay. No. If you don't believe what the Word says, you're headed for disaster. If you don't stay hooked up with God and trust God each and every day, you're going to miss God. Amen? You can't get off. You can't let that stinking thinking enter in and those little thoughts remain unchecked. It'll get you off track. Amen? You are to cast down every imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity every thought into the obedience of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 and 4 and 5. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You allow that thought to go unchecked, it'll become a stronghold in your life. Should have had people to challenge him. Said, where's the book? Amen? Where's that book that Moses wrote? He wrote it all down. What does it say there? If we forgot what it said after 40 days, get it out and read it again. Amen? As Brother Jim was talking about this morning, it's important when you're prompted to read the Word, you better get into the Word and read the Word. Stay in the Word. Consume the Word. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Everybody doing okay? Just want to encourage you today to trust God. Trust His Word. It doesn't matter what all the outside influences look like. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are like. What your past experiences are like. You've got to trust God today. Trust God because you know the character of God. Amen? Deuteronomy chapter 1. It's important to remember that here in Deuteronomy, Moses starts out by reminding the nation of Israel what happened to the previous generation in the wilderness. All those who had been disobedient and had failed to follow the word of the Lord had perished. Only Moses, Caleb, and Joshua were still alive from that time frame when those men of 20 years old and older. It says in Numbers chapter 26 that all of them had passed away. They were all dead. This is a whole new generation. And Moses starts to recount everything that happened. And all through the book of Deuteronomy, he explains the new covenant, or the covenant that they have with God. And he explains all the laws and explains everything. And here, God had told Moses the time had come for them to finally go over and possess the land that he had planned for their grandfathers and their fathers to occupy, but they failed to trust him. He shares with this new generation and recounts to them some of the things that happened. It's given as a warning and also an encouragement to not to make the same mistakes. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 26. He's talking about the 12 spies. And then the total generation here. It says, "Yet you were not willing to go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you grumbled in your tents and said, 'Because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us.'" Because the Lord hates us. They didn't know the character of God. Amen? That's what it says, right? Because the Lord hates us, he's brought us out of here, out of Egypt, to bring us up here to be killed off by somebody else. God's just playing games with us. How many people have that same mindset today, though? How many people believe that God hates them? That God doesn't love them? That God's against them? We have people in the church that think that God is mad at them. Amen? If you do not know the character of God, it's going to be extremely hard for you to trust God. They didn't trust his word. They didn't trust his plan. They had no idea who their God was. The same guys who said, "Make us a God. We don't care what he looks like, just make us one so he'll be the one to lead us." It's their God. Their version of who God is. The little box that they put him in. Our God is a consuming fire. Amen? They had more trust in the word of the spies than they had in the word of God. Trust in another individual is grounded in our evaluation of three basic areas. We will check out their ability, their integrity, and many times, most important to us, their motives. The more we observe the characteristics in another person, our level of trust in them is more as likely to grow or diminish, depending upon what we see. Amen? So when you talk about ability, it refers to an assessment that we make of the other's knowledge, skill, or competency. This dimension recognizes that trust requires some sense that the other is able to perform in a manner that meets our expectations. Do you believe that God is able? Amen. In order to trust, one of the main things is you have to believe that He is able, that He is able to take care of you. The second one is integrity. It's the degree to which the trustee adheres to the principles that are viewed as vital by the trustor. Leads to trust based on consistency of past actions. How many times have they seen God do things and they still didn't trust Him? You say, well, how do you know that? Well, they didn't. The third thing is motives. Refers to our assessment that the trusted individual is concerned enough about a welfare to either advance our interest or at least not impede them. Ability, integrity, and motives. The nation of Israel, those that died in the wilderness, didn't trust God because they questioned all three. You say, well, how do you know you trust God? Do you trust His ability? Do you trust His integrity? Do you trust His motives? Yes, praise God. I trust God. Look on down at verse 28 there in Deuteronomy chapter 1. It says, where can we go up? Our brothers have made our hearts melt by saying, the people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified up to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of Anak there. But I said to you, do not be terrified nor fear them. The Lord your God who goes before you will fight, Himself will fight for you just as He did for you in Egypt before your eyes and in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord carried you just as a man carries his son on all the road which you have walked until you came to this place. Yet in spite of this, you did not trust the Lord your God. It's the same word that we see back in Exodus chapter 4, that word Almon, where they said they trusted God. They didn't really trust God. Amen? You did not trust the Lord your God who goes before you on your way to seek out a place for you to make camp in the fire by night to show you the way by which you should go and the cloud by day. Because they failed to trust God, a journey that someone could make in 11 days. Think about that. A journey that someone could make in 11 days took them 40 years to eventually make. 13 months after they left Egypt, they broke camp and headed toward the promised land. 13 months. In Numbers 13, we see where the spies brought back the bad report and the people rebelled. They failed to keep trusting God and His plan. He had told them 11 months before when they reached Mount Sinai how He was going to drive out the inhabitants and what His plan was. God Almighty was going to do it, not them. And even though they'd seen God do great and mighty things, they didn't trust Him. One thing that I've come to see as I've spent weeks looking at and studying these passages of Scripture is that the time at Mount Sinai was preparation time. Think about all they accomplished while they were there. They built a tabernacle, which was a huge undertaking. They fashioned and made all the furnishings that went with it. They made the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat which sat upon it, the table of showbread, the lamps, the curtains, the gold-plated planks of wood that made up the inside of the Holy of Holies. They made the priestly garments. The feast and the sacrifices were all spelled out exactly for them. The way they were to worship their God was established before they were actually ready to go and do what the Lord had told them to do.
to go and possess what God had prepared for them. Yet when the time came, they refused to enter in. They lost sight of what God had told them. They lost sight of the vision God had given them about how things were to go, and most importantly, how they were going to turn out. They not only failed to trust His plan, they failed to trust His timing. I'm sure the question arose on more than one occasion as to why is it taking so long, God? We've been eating this manna for a long time, doing the same things over and over. When are we going to cross over? Yet when the time came, they were unprepared. They were unaware of the plan of God. God knew they had to get some things ready spiritually, physically, before they were going to be ready to occupy the land and fulfill the plan of God. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, a new generation, God makes the same promises, the same plan. God never changed. He told them the same exact thing. I'm going to drive them out little by little. Deuteronomy chapter 11, He says the same thing. When they did eventually cross the River Jordan, it was God's plan that the priest who had to be ordained, had to be set apart, carried the Ark of the Covenant, which had to be constructed, which had to be made, which had to be fashioned, which had had sacrifices and blood sprinkled upon it. It was that says when the feet of the priest, the soles of the feet of the priest stepped into the River Jordan, that the waters walled up and the nation of Israel was able to cross over. Now we don't know if that was. It was the plan of God. Right? The plan of God. To show once again that God was the one doing it. That God was the one leading them. Because His presence went from being in front of them all the time to where it rested upon the tabernacle or the tent of meeting that was replaced by the tabernacle when Moses went in there and spoke with the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant was symbolic of the presence of God. It was symbolic of the fact that God was going before them. Amen? About trusting God. Those who did up entering the promised land found that God was true to His word, and things began to transpire exactly as they had been told. They chose to trust Him, but they also had to make a decision to continue to trust Him. Amen. I said this a couple weeks ago, and I'll say it again. So what do you do while you're waiting upon the Lord? You follow His plan. You follow God's word. You do what you know to do in the present without fretting over what has happened up to this point, about fretting what the future is going to look like, and about fretting over the obstacles you may face in the future. Stay focused on His word. Amen. We can't be like the children of Israel who lost track of what God had told them to do during that preparation time. Maybe God's preparing you to do something else. Maybe God's preparing you to do something in the future. Don't get impatient and get ahead of God's plan. Stay hooked up with God. Say, why is it taking so long, God? Don't know. God has a plan. Amen? He has a plan. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your plan, Lord. Thank you for your plan for each and every one of us individually, Lord. We thank you and praise you that we're sensitive to follow your plan. And we make a decision today, Lord, to trust you. To put our reliance and our faith in you because we trust you, your ability, Lord. We trust your integrity. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that your motives are just pure love that you have for us. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory for that. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for your plan for this church. Lord, we know you have a plan. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you that we're just going to keep following your plan. We're going to keep doing the things that you've called us to do. We're just going to trust you, Lord. Trust you for your timing. Trust you for the harvest. And Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.